I'm glad that you're here tonight. In just a little while, we are going to be celebrating the Lord's table, remembering Him. And Pastor Watt last time began, and we talked this over some time ago, that we were over the next year, as we had our times of communion, that we were going to share some of the themes that the Bible shares with us concerning remembering our Lord and what He has done for us and why it is so important. Some of the most special opportunities for you and I as believers is to gather around and remember His flesh and His blood that was shed for you and for me. The vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ is something that no human could do for us. You know, we read about the gentleman this past week who used his body as a barricade or an Oregon, trying to prevent the shooter that took so many lives from coming into the classroom. And he continued to shoot through the door, and he was hit 5 times. And he cried out to the man and said, "This is my son's birthday," and the man shot him 2 more times. He was a former military man, and he was trying to blockade the door and keeping them from coming in to kill other people. And yet that man's sacrifice, he's still alive, thankfully, and is doing much better. But his life would still not be the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, because His life cannot atone for sin. And yet Jesus Christ atoned for our sin. He made it possible that we might be forgiven. And that wonderful truth is certainly a blessing to us all. But I want to emphasize something tonight from God's Word, and that is the perfect peace that the vicarious atonement brings to those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Would you take your Bibles, please, and join me at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're going to just briefly tonight go through some Scripture verses related to this theme of perfect peace, the vicarious atonement, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the giving of His body on the tree, secured for us perfect peace. Something that no unsaved individual can have or possess apart from Jesus Christ. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 26 of Isaiah as we consider this theme tonight of perfect peace, that which Jesus Christ took for us and has given to us as His children. Verse 1, "In that day," now that's a technical term that's used over and over again by Isaiah that's referring to that day of the Lord in the future. When Jesus comes to reign upon this earth, to settle the score with those nations of the earth that have risen up against Israel, the Battle of Armageddon, and He begins His 1,000-year reign upon this earth. That's considered by the Scripture to be the day of the Lord, when He rules and reigns. "In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah." What song is that? "We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You that on the cross of Calvary, You secured for us as sinful individuals perfect peace. When we believe upon You, when we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ that was accomplished for us, when we repent of our sin, You give to us perfect peace. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we consider this theme tonight in relationship to the communion table, and remembering Thee, help us to know and understand that You have given to Your children at the moment of salvation peace which passeth all understanding. I pray that You would work in our hearts tonight and as we consider this theme, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are in these days a great deal of talk about peace. When Pope Francis was here, there was session after session after session on world peace. He met with all the leaders in New York City of the major mainline denominations, and the topic of discussion was world peace, how we can have peace. Before he came to the United States, back in May, he released a statement regarding his trip of coming here to the United States. And this is what he wrote at that time. This was released at the end of May, a few months ago. And I quote, "The Lord has created us in His image and likeness, and has given us this commandment in the depths of our heart, do good and do not do evil. The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ. All of us, not just Catholics, everyone. Father, the atheists, even the atheist, everyone. And this blood makes us children of God of the first class. We are created children in the likeness of God, and the blood of Christ has redeemed us all. And we all have a duty to do good." Now listen carefully. "And this commandment for everyone to do good, I think, is the beautiful path toward peace." All right, now listen to what he says. "This is the beautiful path toward peace. If we, each doing our own part, if we do good to others, if we meet there doing good, and we go slowly, gently, little by little, we will make that culture of encounter. We need that so much. We must meet one another doing good. But I don't believe, Father. I am an atheist. But do good. We will meet one another there." Now, what has he done? Yes, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to redeem lost sinners. But they must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, and I could take you to a dozen other passages that say that. Man is not saved by doing good. By the way, that was carried by most major media outlets. But what they did not carry was the response that came from the Vatican 2 days after that, clarifying the papal bull that was released, not actually a bull, it was a very small bull, and I would call it bull baloney because it did not line up at all with the Scriptures, what it has to say, do good and you'll go to heaven. Yes, you're an atheist, but if you do good, we'll all meet you there. All right, that sounds popular, but this is what Father Thomas Rosica in the Vatican commented on the Pope's statement. Because you see, the mixed signals sent by this Pope did not go unnoticed by the Vatican. This was not covered by the media outlets, but this is what was released from the Vatican, and I read to you. "They cannot be saved who, knowing the Catholic Church as founded by Christ and necessary for salvation, would refuse to enter her or remain in her." That wasn't carried by the media outlets, but that was their clarification. Oh, wait a minute. Now, you have to understand, you have to go by way of the church. You have to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church in order to go to heaven, because we all know the Roman Catholic Church is the saving entity in this world. And the Pope is the Father. By the way, he referred to himself in this particular thing almost 20 times as the Father. Capital F in the release that was made. Capital F. But Father, speaking of himself, "I am an atheist. I don't believe." Do good and we will see you there. All right? That's the message. That's the mantra that he put out. Mixed signals. But then even the people within came back out and said, well, we need to clarify what he said. This is what he really meant. You've still got to be a member of the church. Member of the 1.4 billion member church in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven. Now, I want you to keep in mind what he said about peace, because this is the clarion call of all the religions now. All right? What did he say? How is it accomplished? By everyone determining to do good. But I want to read what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what God said. And yet, in the attempt to rewrite Scripture and to make some other means, what they are doing is destroying the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the vicarious atonement. Diminishing it and say, oh, you have to be a member of the church. Now, yes, he makes reference to the blood, but what he says is that's not enough. You have to be a member of the church in order to be able to have salvation, in order for you to go to heaven. You have to be a part of the church. You have to do good. You know, peace is the exact opposite of doing strife and discord and conflict. All one need to do is stop, look, and listen all around us. Our world is full of discord. I read somewhere that there have been over 4,000 peace pacts signed since 1400. 4,000 peace pacts that have been signed. Every one has been broken. Every one. Every peace pact that's ever been signed, 4,000 of them since around 1400 A.D., everyone has been broken. There have been 256 wars that have been fought since the 1700s. Man knows nothing about peace. No matter how hard he strives, he cannot abide by a peace pact because his heart is wicked and deceitful. Jesus Christ went to the cross to forever seal the how and the who of peace. Peace only comes through knowing Jesus Christ, not through the church, but directly through Him, through the Holy Spirit's work. Repenting and believing through the Holy Spirit of God, redeeming and giving us light and giving us the righteousness of heaven through Jesus Christ, we are now made fit and we are given at that moment perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now we derive our word peace from the Hebrew word shalom. You've heard that word many, many times. The word shalom means completeness, wholeness, oneness, without sickness. That's what the word peace means. You see, the reason that man cannot have peace is because man is sick with sin. He is rife with sin. His heart is wicked and lawless. Therefore, we cannot have peace. But the very word shalom means wholeness, oneness, completeness, without what? Sickness. The wickedness of sin is absent. God, through the perfect sacrifice of Christ's atonement, assured by the perfect word of the Spirit's assurance, enjoyed by the God-given grace of faith, such faith becoming ours by the hearing of the Word of God, the peace of God becomes ours when we exercise faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's where peace comes from. And as believers in Christ, we can have this peace. Now, in this age of psychiatry and drug treatments and therapies that are out there, institutions are providing for the repairing of nerves and minds. And such institutions are crowded. They are overflowing with people. Surely this perfect peace is needed, don't you agree? Surely this perfect peace is needed. But we've sought for it in other means, psychiatry, psychology, through drug therapies and treatments, trying to somehow get peace. I could not even count the number of Hollywood actresses and actors and rock stars that have died from overdoses on drugs. They number into the hundreds, and they happen on a regular basis. The story was told about an actor who died about 4 years ago. His name was Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was an up-and-coming actor. He was from Australia. And he had moved to the United States and become quite popular and was in all kinds of movies and so forth. But a phone call came into 911 in New York City that there was a man who was dead in an apartment building and they needed quickly to have the ambulance come. Now, this phone call did not come quickly because two other actresses who were his friends had come to his apartment to visit him. They found him dead in the apartment, and they stood around for nearly an hour trying to decide what they should do. There was drug paraphernalia all over the place in that apartment. He was dead from an overdose
of a mixture, cocktail, of drugs and alcohol. He was face down in his own vomit, naked. He had drowned. On top of being completely passed out, he had drowned in his own vomit. They stood around for an hour trying to debate what Jesus should do. They made over 25 calls to other friends asking them what they should do. If he by chance was alive, he didn't have a prayer with those two. Finally, the ambulance came. They pronounced him dead. This up and rising star was dead at the age of 27. You see, the young man had absolutely no peace. He had been a drug addict and alcoholic since he was a teenager. The father had indicated, yes, he had struggled with drugs, and yes, he had struggled with alcohol, and we had certainly hoped that perhaps his success would help him through his particular situation. But his success meant nothing. He had no peace. He was seeking peace. And I could go down the line of all of the exalted individuals by the culture, the Michael Jacksons and the Heath Ledgers, and go down the list of all these exalted people and their music and stuff that is just so wonderful. And you look at their lives who are a complete disaster. Michael Jackson had a doctor that came to his house every night and intravenously put medications in, and to the end of his last days, they were putting the medications that they use in surgery so he could get one night's sleep. He couldn't sleep. He hadn't slept naturally for 25 years. He died at 50. The man had absolutely no peace. Get this, young people. His music, are you listening to me, young people? His music didn't satisfy him. His millions did not satisfy him. His friends did not satisfy him. All of his associates that were high-powered executives from Sony to all the other music houses that he had done business with could not satisfy him. His cry every night, I just want to sleep, but I cannot sleep. You know why he couldn't sleep? Because he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything he tried would not work. And I could just keep going down the list. And you know what's so strange? Is that young people who have sat in churches all across America run to that music and they want to have it. They want to put it on their playlist. They want to listen to it because they think it's wonderful. And you look behind the curtain to the lives of all those people that sing that garbage and all they want is one night's sleep because they have no peace. It doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And what is so sad on top of that is that the preaching oftentimes goes in one ear and right out the other. And so young people enter into the school of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. And they beat their brains out trying to find satisfaction in this world. Trying to be happy. Trying to sleep at night. You listen to rock music, you can't sleep at night. You can't sleep at night. I had a young person, I've told this story many, many times, in my fifth grade class back in 1989, sleeping in class every day. So I called his parents and I said, I need you to do me a favor. Would you go into his room about 1 o'clock tonight? I think he's staying up at night. And the mother said, well, he goes to bed at 10 o'clock every night. I said, go check him at 1 o'clock in the morning. She went in there and under his covers, he had taped his covers up to the back of his bedpost, and there he was with his earphones on listening to rock music. That's what he was doing every night, listening to rock music. Stay up to all hours of the night, get up in the morning, come to school, and sleep during school. There's no sleep with that kind of stuff. It's anti-peace. It is anti, I'm talking about God's peace. They can talk all they want to about world peace, but it's nothing but chaos and noise. And there's no happiness in that. There is not one person. And you look at all these hip-hop people shooting and killing each other. They have no peace. They have no joy. And yet the world props that up and says, this is reaching the pinnacle. This is what you want to be, young person. And you're a fool if you believe it. You're an absolute, complete imbecile. I'm sorry to have to say that, but you're an absolute fool. Because not only will you lose in this world, you're going to lose in the next because you don't have the peace of God dwelling in your life. Oh, if I could just take everyone for just a glimpse over the battlements of hell and let you look down at all the stars that are there, all the sports heroes that are burning in hell because they got what they wanted in this world, but they lost in the next. They had no peace. Jesus Christ died that you might have peace. I want you to see three things tonight regarding what we're going to be celebrating in just a few moments in communion. Number one, perfect peace is blood purchased. Perfect peace is blood purchased. Listen to these two verses of Scripture. You don't need to turn to them. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How was peace brought about? By the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What secured your peace? It was secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. It took Jesus Christ dying to give you life and to give you peace. I don't know how seriously we understand what Jesus Christ did for us. He literally bore your hell, an eternity of hell, on the cross for you. And not only yours, but every sinner that's ever lived or who will ever live, He bore it in His body on the tree. He secured perfect peace with His blood. Contrary to Pope Francis, peace with God is not a product of man's wisdom or of his doing good. Before the universe was brought into being, before the foundation of the world, God settled the how and the who of peace with Him. Perfect peace is not a byproduct of earth. It is not an obtainment of man's ability or his endeavors. It is not a priceless gem of man's finding, nor a virtue brought by good people doing good things. Perfect peace is provided by God and only by God and only by His terms. It required His Son's blood to secure it. When Adam sinned, fellowship was broken between God and man. Warfare began and has continued up until the point when Jesus Christ came to this earth and bore our sin in His body on the tree, the second Adam. The second Adam in a body of flesh purchased perfect peace between God and man at the price of His own blood. Jesus was God in the flesh, and therefore He, the second Adam, was the God whom man offended and the offender all in one body. He provided redemption, justification, and peace. Peace that only Jesus could have provided because man only produces failure. That's all man can produce, is failure after failure after failure after failure. Why? Because we're sinners. It's not possible for man to produce peace. Now, there's going to be an Antichrist that comes along and says, we can have peace. We can have peace. And they'll say, this is the Christ. This is the promised one. But He won't be the Christ, the promised one. He'll be the deceiver. And it will look like He has provided peace for the world. And everyone will revel. Isn't this wonderful what He's provided? But it'll all come crashing down 3.5 years later. It will all be a lie. And world destruction will take place as the unfolding of the seals and the bowls of wrath and the trumpets. As that is all unfolded, there's going to be untold disaster on this earth and the killing of millions and millions of people. No peace, because they rejected the Prince of Peace. Perfect peace is blood purchased. Number two, perfect peace is faith obtained. It's faith obtained. Romans 5:11, therefore being justified by faith, we have what with God? Can you say it? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, takes us back to the previous chapter, chapter 4 and verse 25, which reads, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Now, who is that referring to? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was delivered for, that means on account of our offenses, and was raised for, or on account of, our justification. Since Jesus delivered on account of our offenses, we believed on Him and put our faith in His finished work, our faith is accounted for righteousness. And through His righteousness, I have perfect peace. Perfect peace. You know, when Esther went into the presence of King Ahasuerus, she was not at all sure of the king's mind toward her. This is what she said, if I perish, I perish. But whenever she went into King Ahasuerus, he extended his golden scepter to her. What a beautiful picture. It really is a picture of the Father. When we come and we say, Lord, I come undone, He looks at His Son, who bore my sin in His body on the tree. He looks at His Son and He extends the scepter toward me, and I can come and I can touch His scepter as a lost sinner, and I can enjoy the forgiveness and the righteousness and the peace that He gives. Esther was able to go, and she was able to unload all that Haman had said to do against the Jews. And we know the story of how God undertook and spared the Jews during that time. But she did not know how the king was going to receive her. I want you to know this. You can know tonight the king will receive you on the merits of His Son. Perfect peace is faith obtained. And then I want you to see finally here, perfect peace is Christ performed. Perfect peace is Christ performed. John 14, verse 27, one of my favorite verses in the Gospels. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Now right there, we're told it's not like the world giveth. The world's peace is transient. It's here for a second and gone. It's just like a puff of air, vapor. It goes out and it just is gone. That's the world's peace. But Jesus says, my peace that I give you is not like the world and what the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, in reality, double peace is pictured here for us. Double peace. Here we have the legacy of the dying Savior to whomever will become a recipient of that perfect peace through faith in His finished work. He says to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I completely surround you with my peace. This is what I give to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. That's nothing more than the peace that comes by relying upon the Lord. The literal Greek in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, studying in preparation for upcoming messages from Matthew 11, we read that phrase, take my yoke upon you, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The literal Greek says, take the yoke with me in the will of God. Take the yoke with me in the will of God, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know what we do? We are joined together with Christ. Think of a yoke of oxen. But think not of oxen, but myself joined with Jesus Christ in that yoke. And in that yoke is perfect peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that He is there, yoked with you, always. Nicholas Ridley died on October the 16th, 1555. Nicholas Ridley was very high up, recognized by King Edward VI, who was just a teenager at the time. He was a spiritual advisor. And when Edward VI became fatally ill, it was Nicholas Ridley that said, "We must get Lady Jane Grey, 16 at the time. She must be our new leader. We cannot let Mary come to the throne, and we cannot let Elizabeth come to the throne. It will mean the end of Christianity in England." King Edward died, and Lady Jane Grey was put in prison and beheaded because of her faith in Jesus Christ. She was a Christian. It was soon after that Mary, Queen Mary, Bloody Mary as she was called, she ordered that Nicholas Ridley, the spiritual advisor to Edward VI, that he be imprisoned in the Tower and await her orders for execution. On October the 15th, the day before his execution, Nicholas's brother came to visit him in prison. He said, "Nicholas, I've gained permission to spend the night with you before you go to be burned at the stake." And Nicholas said, No, my brother. I wish to sleep tonight in the peace which passeth all understanding." He gave his brother a hug through the bars and bid him goodbye. And it is told by the guards that he slept the entire night. Can I describe for you his execution? Nicholas Ridley, on the 16th, was taken in a cart down to Bristol Street. Today you can actually go there and you can see the stones that were embedded soon after to mark the spot where he was burned at the stake. They had ordered that he not be choked to death, as was the condition of many of them. They would choke them first, allow them to pass out, then burn their bodies. Bloody Mary, wanted to see him suffer, and suffer he did. They piled the wood around him. They brought his body, brought him up there. He climbed through the midst of that, and then they piled it. They chained him to the wood, and there he stood there silently. They started the fire. It took a very long time. People wept because he didn't go unconscious as the lower extremities of his body were burned and yet he did not pass out. After his death, when he finally passed out and was able to burn, they didn't have the fire big enough and hot enough to burn him. He went through immeasurable pain that day. Hugh Latimer and Thomas Cramer were up in the tower where they were witnessed. They did it on purpose. They put it down the street below where they could see Nicholas Ridley being burned. They wanted them to see it so they would change their mind and go the Queen's way. They called out, it is said, "Play the man, Ridley, for we shall see thee shortly." In April of the next year, the other two were taken out and they were burned at the stake as well. Let me tell you something. The brother testified, "Nicholas was prepared to meet his God, and God gave him perfect peace. He was able to sleep the night knowing that he was going to be taken out and he was going to be burned alive on that stake. And yet he had perfect peace." That was secured for every lost sinner on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. How do people live without the peace of God? You know how they live? In misery. Their lives are just miserable. They think, "I've got to have something else. There's something else out there I can get, I can have, and that will make me satisfied. That'll make me happy." You will never find happiness in anything other than in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're here professing Jesus Christ and you don't have happiness tonight, you don't possess Jesus Christ. It's very simple. He gives to His children perfect peace. And Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, He giveth perfect peace to those, what's the rest of that verse? Whose mind is stayed on Thee. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe your mind is stayed on something else. As we gather up here tonight to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, would you come with an attitude of spirit, Lord, You secured peace for me. I need to know it. I need to know it. Lord, would You help me to stop with the trying to find happiness in the things of this world? Would You help me to stop that? Would You help me, dear Lord, to focus my heart and mind and be stayed upon Thee? That makes all the difference in the world. He gives perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed. He's already secured it for you. It's not a question of whether God provides it to His children. It is provided. It was secured through His atonement for you and for me. But maybe we're not enjoying His peace. That's one of the blessings of the cross work of Jesus Christ.